us right to get back. Yes.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Did you play with your baby yesterday?
Sure did.
Aww.
Got to hold him a lot. But swim with Tessa and had fun with Tessa.
Good. He's starting to get more personality, isn't he?
He's still really. He's only, what is he, 13 days today, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's all?
13 days today.
Seems like he's been around a little bit longer than that.
He has been.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, it is now 10:30, and I'd like to call to order and acknowledge that the press and public are duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. This is the Personnel Committee on Thursday, July 5th. Our first line of business is the approval of previous meetings minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so the ayes have it. Any citizens' comments, Norma Jean?
No comment.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to get right to the meat of our committee here, and consideration and selection of search firm for a recommendation to the Ways and Means Committee. So I'll just call on each of you to kind of give us a report on that firm that you kind of vented a little bit, so okay. That we can move forward and see if we have one that comes to the top.
I can lead it. I'll kick us off. Okay. Sure. So I was checking on references from Colin Benzinger, and I spoke with three different cities, all of whom were either coastal and or about the same size and population, sometimes both. There was one city where the guy asked not to be named publicly, because he has a relationship with Colin and just felt like he wanted to remain anonymous.
Okay.
So that's why I won't mention his name or city. the first two folks I talked to were very emphatic about how easy the process was, how much they liked working with Colin, how he was personally involved, and that the process was quick. I think one was 5 months and one was 6 to 8 weeks. One was very, very short, from the signing of the agreement to making a hire. Both of them only had one round of candidates, so that our whole kind of questioning around what if we needed to get more candidates, that was the case for all three of them. The first two felt like the candidates were great fit. Everything was good. I couldn't really extract anything meaningful other than everything was smooth. We were happy with everything, and the process was as really articulated in the agreement. The third person felt like the process was fine, but that the candidate was not a good fit. They had 13 candidates. He said Colin brought them 10, and they had three that were local due to pressure. They hired one of the 10, not one of the three local ones, but they had to have them for reasons that we can understand. So they had, and he felt like they were pressured to increase the salary by Colin Benzinger, and he felt like that was not a good move, and he felt like the person didn't last very, that they left pretty shortly after starting, and while the process he felt like was a fine process, the candidates were not a good fit for their city, and this was a coastal city with about the same population of ours. And he just said, the candidates that they brought, like they picked one, but they didn't feel like they were great quality. And he said, in retrospect, we rushed it and we didn't ask for more candidates because we were on a timeline. And that was, everyone sort of said, oh, we were trying to do it really quickly. And the first two, it worked out. The last one, it didn't. They all unanimously said that, we really believe in using a search firm. Even the third one, they're like, I wouldn't go back and do it ourselves. I would use a different search firm, but I would use a search firm. So a lot of validation across the board for what you guys are doing is the right thing, especially for such key positions. Secondly, there were some compliments that we're doing this process here and vetting the references. And that's this last guy said, man, I wish I had done what you guys had done and asking for some
good
questions.
That's good for us.
So, you know,
So they actually hired somebody. They were kind of pressured to hire somebody, and then it didn't last?
They weren't, it's not that they were pressured. They had their own pressure internally that they self-imposed to get someone in the role.
Someone in the role.
And did they
in turn increase the salary? That was the pressure.
The pressure was to increase the salary.
Okay.
And
that was from the firm.
And he felt, yeah, and that was from the firm. And in retrospect, he said, I think we should have, you know, they didn't have to, but he felt like they were talked into it, and he said, we probably shouldn't have increased the salary, especially because the person wasn't a great fit.
Good information. Carol?
Very fine. Okay, so I did Mercer. Again, like you said, very interesting. The first person I talked to was Wynette suggested I call Julia Griffin in Hanover, New Hampshire. And she's actually the city administrator, but was the person who had hired Mercer to help her find their police chief. And she really wanted to spread a really wide net to get candidates. She felt like they needed to change things up in their police department, bring in some fresh ideas and whatnot. So she is thrilled with the fit that they got. This new police chief, which I think has been there for a few years now, was from Reidsville, North Carolina. They would have never, ever found him. And he just brings a whole different perspective and outlook. And Hanover is where Dartmouth is, so they do get a
an influx
of people for certain things. And I said, wow, you have a very intellectual, you know, group coming. She's like, yes, they're all a legend in their own minds. So I was like, okay, so you have a whole different set of issues. And, you know. But anyway, she could not say enough things. She thought that they were incredibly thorough. They were super pro-Mercer, first rate. I mean, she kind of calls him, Jim Mercer, the dean of government search nationwide. She's like, so that's who you're getting. He's it, you know. She said he does live in Santa Fe, but it doesn't feel like that, you know, he'll come. His comments and insight were helpful, and they were very responsive. She said the staff is amazing. And the one thing that she really respects is he doesn't load himself up with work. He only takes what he wants now. Because he's getting older, but not, I mean, he's still really involved in doing it, but he only takes what he wants. So, you know.
Who wouldn't want to come to Alabama?
Right, exactly, from Santa Fe in the middle of summer. Then I talked to Peter Hendricks, who is the mayor of Sun Valley, and they had used him, and so nobody on their council was really super involved anymore in the search, which was just a few years ago, but things change, and Sun Valley really has a tiny population, but then, their population's 1,400 people that live there, but then, of course, there are ski towns that they explode to, you know, 40, 50, 60,000, and they're 25% owner-occupied. So they really are even smaller than us owner-occupied. But he just said, you know, the integrity, the follow-through, the four-star, it's AAA. I mean, he could not say enough. The people they hired through that are still there, very happy, brought good candidates. I mean, he really... very nice. And then I talked to Kiowa. That was interesting. I actually talked to Susan, who was the person that they found. Maybe it wasn't Susan. No, Craig Weaver's the mayor, and then Stephanie Tillerson. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm reading. Anyway, Stephanie's who they found, and getting her take on how it went from her end. And she was very, very pleased. And then Craig Weaver who is a mayor now, was not also super involved because they kind of have a new, but was on the sidelines a little bit then and felt like they really, really brought them good candidates. So they were in it quite a pickle at the time, you know, with legal stuff. But, I mean, he's just amazed at how Stephanie has walked in and handled everything and been really a top-rate hire because right. It was a tough situation to go into.
Yeah, because they had some embezzlement.
Yeah.
Things like that going
yeah,
on.
Yeah. And it was two people, it was their treasurer and their city administrator. So things really were, it was a
that
tough.
That was a good one to check.
Yeah. And they're
in the midst of all that.
Yeah. So, anyway, I really didn't get any, there was nothing that anybody said that was negative. It was all very, you know, they felt really good, and if you needed something else or someone else to, you know, they were responsive, so.
Okay, and I did GovHR. And I talked to Doug Hewitt, who was the city manager of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And his response that generally it was a very good experience. In fact, he had nothing wrong to say about the firm.
It's just the yes, live in Fayetteville.
Only the market. That the candidates that they brought, they just basically weren't real excited about them. So they went from the first tier to the second tier, and they basically said, okay, we have to do all over again. So, and they did, and the firm was fine with doing that. They did a good job of bringing some more in. But again, and they did hire somebody after 120 days, but they were never really like, oh, wow, we've got this person coming on and they're gonna do such a great job. And this wasn't the only municipality I heard that from, because then I called Beaufort County, and I talked to Thomas Kevany, I think that's his name, he's the attorney. He used to live on Ocean Boulevard.
Ah.
So he knew of us and knew, you know, what we're all about. And again, he had nothing bad to say about the firm, the process, the people they worked with, but the market is just not in our favor. The fact that the people that and their salary range is 185 to 215, and the good people are going to non-government work. So don't be surprised. And in Fayetteville also, Doug mentioned, don't be surprised that between the time that you see your candidates to the time that you actually make an offer, some of them drop out. You may choose your top candidate and they drop out, so always have a first, second, and third, so that if the first one drops out, you're still comfortable with the second or the third. And then I went to Eastman, Massachusetts, which is a Cape Cod community, just because it's upper northeast, and I thought it'd be interesting that. Again, they said the firm did all they asked, kept on schedule, easy to work with Heidi, and all three of these are interesting, worked with Heidi. So evidently she's the go-to. They did go through two rounds after some tweaks, because the first round just didn't, it took 90 days, and they're in the process of offering negotiations. Also in Fayetteville, they didn't use GovHR for any department head level. It was always the assistant level. And they did not use it for their police chief. They went to another firm called Developmental Associates, the chief of police, and asked why. And they just said this was a different department doing a different search. So the departments do the search.
Gotcha.
And the committees of that department do the search, the personnel committee.
Okay,
so, and they just decided they wanted somebody else for the chief of police. I also called Pasco County, Florida, and Marion County, Florida, left numerous emails and phone calls, but they never returned back. So the take on this is that they're a good firm, process is good, they keep on time, they are very responsive, but just don't be surprised if the market isn't very good.
One of the things that I can't remember who that I, because I did talk to several different people at these places, but one of them said, given Mercer's long history and how they're sort of considered, you know, supposedly top dog in government searches, that he has such a good base of people.
Good. That's good to hear.
I mean, they did say, I mean, who knows if that's true.
Yeah.
Now, Kiowa, of course, said, you know, one of their struggles is any kind of housing for people who work mm-hmm. in government jobs.
Yeah.
Out their direction has become really difficult, you know. And he kind of asked if we were having that same issue, you know, even with Mount Pleasant pricing yeah. going up so high.
That's a good mm-hmm. point.
That's a
you know, he said they yeah. really came up against that in terms of just real cost of living.
Yeah.
Here has gone up so yeah. much.
Yeah. And we don't require, even with our chief, that they live on the island.
Right.
Because there's just no place.
Right.
Mostly for them to find a place right. to live on the island. But with the prices on the other side of the connector.
Even, yeah.
We may find somebody who's, you know, who's in North Charleston or who's right. in, you know.
Desiree, I mean, lives yeah. in North Charleston, but it's not that far.
No, not if the connector's okay.
right.
Yeah. Right.
The bridge isn't okay.
Open.
Yeah,
right.
The bridge isn't
open. The connector's okay. The bridge isn't open. But that's a good point to mm-hmm. think about.
Absolutely.
So are we ready to make a recommendation?
I'd like to move that we proceed with Mercer. Sounds like the... It sounds like it's, they're all, I think they're all, they would all do a great job. I think right. Mercer is the, we can,
and most yeah. like you said, they weren't the most expensive.
They were.
Yeah. I think, John, you brought that up last time. It was,
we've done due diligence now.
Right.
Before it right. was, hey, they're the lowest cost. Now we've done due diligence.
Well, it was interesting because when we had the discussion the first time, we all sort of were leaning to Mercer, but we weren't quite ready to say, okay, that's the one. Because they didn't kind of rise to the top that much, but you know, of the three that we've picked, I think we're hearing that they're probably yep. good for us.
Need a second.
Okay, I'll second it.
We were discussing before we got the second. Mm-hmm.
Marie, okay. We need to give you a yardstick.
Yes, get that second first. Okay. Any
can
other
put that
discussion?
On the record if you want.
Now I feel really, I'm excited to get moving with them and mm-hmm. you know, I'm just,
yeah,
it's exciting.
Yeah.
So.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. So we will make a recommendation to Ways and Means first.
Mm-hmm.
Now in that process, do we mention the cost or not? We can just say it's below what we budgeted.
We can say. Yeah, it's part of the proposal.
We don't know what all the expenses will be, so we
right.
don't necessarily yes. know that it'll be below
right.
what we budgeted.
Right.
But we can, the motion can include the number from the proposal.
Okay.
But, you know, the budget is higher than that to include all those additional expenses.
So we did $75,000, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
And the, now that we've chosen them, I can go through, I really went through the all of them, you know, picked
right.
out really pointed things. And I think they come across as what I want to hear from somebody. And of course they're all doing that sort of thing. And there's a couple of things with their, and we'll get to this when we actually start the payments. But I think they say somewhere here they have a policy of 1/3 up front,
mm-hmm.
1/3 in the middle,
and then
1/3 at the final.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to negotiate with them to say the last third once we have the candidate hired, not just the final report, but when the person actually has signed and accepted. So let's just put a little note there that that's one of the things we want to
negotiate
with
contract.
Them for the final payment, not just to be when they give us the final report, but when we actually have a contracted employee in place.
Okay.
Okay. Great. That's
yay.
Yay.
It's big.
That's really big.
Big.
Really big.
Check on that.
Really big. Exactly. Really big.
Good job.
Congratulations. Thank you very much for all your hard work.
Yeah, I really and I think feel it good was about worth, it, like yeah, you said, you know.
I think it was worth the extra month just to make sure that we're really confident mm-hmm. with Mercer and that's who we want to go. And then I propose you will go ahead and contact them. And
after this has been approved by City Ways and Means and City Council, we'll contact them and try to
okay, get we have to go through both.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we don't want to put this out on the street yet.
No.
Well, it will be with the audio. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But and it still has to be approved.
It has to be approved by City Council. And right. once we do that, we'll contact them, get a contract, have them submit a contract, and then we'll negotiate right. that language. And right. if there's anything else that we want to negotiate in the contract, we'll do that. But we can. We need to wait until City Council approves.
Great. Congratulations, folks. We did number one. Okay.
Yay.
Now, here we go. Old Business B, discussion of traits, characteristics, and qualities of the ideal city administrator. And we had been given a list, or had sort of off the top of our head
mm-hmm. right.
made a list, and we were going to come back with some. So I will just ask each of you to give those traits, and we'll see if we can compile a list of what, 10? About 10? Okay. John, you
want to
start?
Sure. The Department of Labor has a online database called the Occupational Network that mm-hmm. They've conducted extensive studies to measure performance of thousands of jobs across the U.S. to kind of say these are the traits that make someone successful. So I started there. They consider a city manager, they basically align the traits and skills with the CEO, which I think makes a lot of sense. You're okay. really the CEO of a city. And so the things that make someone successful as a CEO tend to make somebody successful as a city administrator or manager. They have a lot of different things that they have more than five. So I kind of went through the same thing that we did with the police. I'm like, what are the things that
right.
that I think will make someone most successful in our role? So that's sort of the source/ I took a little bit of creative liberty, obviously. This is in no particular order, because we didn't have to rank order. We decided not to rank order them, I think. We just said our top five. All right, so innovation/ forward thinking. And unpacking that, what I think is really important is that we have a candidate who is really capable of using creativity and alternative thinking to develop new ideas and answers for the issues that we face on the island. We know that, to me, this is someone who is not solving for the situations that we have today, but that says, this is what we can anticipate the island looking like in 10 years. And this is what we need to do to make sure that we're set up for that. That's my first one. Integrity is the next one. And there's no really unpacking needed.
Right.
Honest and ethical person. The next would be leadership. This is fairly similar to the innovation forward thinking, but it's different enough. It's really that being willing to take charge and offer opinions and have a strong stance and direction of this is what I think we should do. Initiative is my next one. And again, it's pretty related to the innovation forward thinking and leadership, but it's a little bit different in that it's recognizing what needs to be done and being able to take action and take on responsibilities and challenges without needing someone to really handhold and guide. And then the last one is results oriented. I think it's really important that we have someone who can establish and maintain challenging goals and show how they're exerting effort towards achievement of those goals and really kind of, I want someone who says, I want to set out to do something and show how I've
gotten there.
I think those are all great. I mean, I think, and again, the list can be just so crazy long that it just becomes mm-hmm. A a little burdensome, but I would just add to this the communication skills, both orally and written, I think is just incredibly critical in this role.
I think that was the first one on the ONET, by the way. I think that was their comment.
It's an important one.
Man.
And
I don't know why I didn't have that, actually.
Well, it's just, again, this is... and then when you say results-oriented, I kind of think of that as like task-oriented, you know, same sort of thing, which I think is important. And then the team building, you know, to really feel like you're building a family island team.
Mm-hmm.
And then I still think we need to make sure that whoever we're getting is very environmentally for this particular job in this island, there needs to be a very intense environmental sensitivity, mm-hmm. and kind of caring and focused on, because a lot of what we deal with is climate and environmental. That's mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that seems like an odd.
Mm-mm.
No.
It doesn't seem
that's
odd
specific
at all.
To the island. I think
it is, which is mm-hmm. you know. But that's, you know. Otherwise, I think we've got a lot covered here. But
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Okay, and I did some of what you did, looking at other job descriptions and what their characteristics for their administrator was, and one that struck me that I've never seen it in writing this way, but I'm going to throw it out there. Ability to exhibit empathy with coworkers and not follow a dictatorial style of management. And that was from a small municipality that had evidently a very dictatorial, and I'm not saying that we did, but I've never seen that actually in writing as a trait. So I put it down because it was so unusual. Ability to utilize past experiences to make correct, thoughtful decisions and stand by them. So that's much of what you said in one of the take charge and stick by what you said. Ability to be committed to the position and the residents of the island. Ability to organize and prioritize projects, timelines, and budgets. An ability to establish and foster effective city and county-wide working relationships. And I took that from the list that we had for our chief of police, because mm-hmm. I think that's mm-hmm. important for both the
yeah.
chief and for
mm-hmm.
the city administrator to have a good working relationship with all of the city folks as well as county,
mm-hmm.
so that when we do need help, there's that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So those were my five. So did we say we needed to come up with 10? Or?
Well, I think, shouldn't we let Mercer, we'll...
Mm-hmm. Right,
yes,
and we can
but
give
we,
yeah.
Mercer
we'll just put all
those,
of these out there and say,
right.
okay, these are
and
just,
then,
you know, what we found and what we're thinking about. Now you help us with this.
Right.
You're
right.
the experts,
right.
so you know, you know, nationwide,
mm-hmm.
what are some of the things? And they may say, yeah, we've seen all of these.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And
right.
that's good. But have you thought about this?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I don't think we necessarily, but I think we wanted to have something
right.
to give
right.
them
Absolutely.
An indication of what we were thinking about. Okay.
Yeah. I think, if I may,
sure.
when it comes to that, this list and the list with the police chief, which I know we're moving on to next, or after with the description, is... just helping them say, if you're looking at candidates and you're prioritizing them, all of this whole list of 25, 28 things is real. It's all important, obviously.
Right.
You need to have all of these things. There's some things that are more important than others, and
right.
so extracting that in their screening process and sort of saying, this candidate is maybe more well-rounded with across
mm-hmm.
the 28, but this candidate B actually really hits on these things that they care about, so it's probably a better fit.
Yeah. I think anything we can do to help them find the fit. Because if we don't get them the information that we really want them to have, we can't blame them for not getting a fit.
Mm-hmm.
So, any other discussion on characters and qualities of ideal city administrator? If Okay, then we'll go on to discussion of proposed revisions to the job description for the city administrator. And here, I need a little explanation of what I was looking at.
I know, this was very confusing.
Yeah, I saw the one and it's all underlined, no lines.
Right.
And then there was one after that. Was that taking all of the changes and saying, okay, this is what
so
it
so
would
you don't
like?
Have to look.
Yeah, the clean version.
Clean copy. Yeah.
Okay.
And then what was that?
So that's what I ended up
the
going to.
The red line and the clean.
Yeah. Right. I went to the clean and said, okay, then this is what we really should be looking at. Because after I looked at the first
it
one.
It just seemed like we took so much out.
Let me explain. Let me step back a little bit. Because
okay.
I was on the personnel committee when this was put forward. And there was a very different environment at the time. And all I'll say is there were a lot of 2-to-1 votes. And so this is the job description that we ended up with, but not particularly the job description that I personally thought was best for the city. So I think that's why you're seeing so many changes. In terms of, I think the last committee tried to put every single thing that this person would ever have to do in their entire life in this position, and that's really not a job description in my estimation. But so when Wynette showed me, you know, told me, do you want me to just change this one, or do you want me to give you one that I think is really what we need? And I said, give us one we really need. And I hope that was the will of the committee.
Yes. And if I may, Sandy, mm-hmm. A lot of what was in there, a lot of the little minutia type stuff, it's still in
there,
the job
right.
description.
Okay.
It's just, and as I said to Marie when I sent this over, I said, I hope that they understand that it's very streamlined so that it much more follows what a job description should be like. And then if you look at, which is one of the things that I did, if you look at many, many job descriptions, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the state as well as coastal communities, even like a lot of what was being looked for by those search firms, you know, look at the job descriptions of all those, and then kind of just streamlining. But all those red lines, a lot of them are just condensed
mm-hmm.
into
yes.
An essential function, which is what your job description is.
Okay.
And I've reviewed it, and I think that the content hasn't changed
right.
necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's just a lot of the formatting mm-hmm. and concising
okay.
language.
Okay.
There
right.
were a lot of duplicative statements, and I think this is a good step in streamlining that job description.
I do have a couple of questions. And you cover it where it says reports to mayor/council, because one of the things heretofore, it was just council. And, you know, Linda would say, I've got 9 bosses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have 9 bosses, you don't have any boss. So there had to be somebody that took, you know, the day-to-day, and the mayor is the one who's here most often. So rather than have a member of council be that liaison between the city administrator and the council, we established that the mayor should be it. That's why I was interested in seeing that it reports to mayor, but is responsible to the full council.
Right.
And reporting to means I'm going on vacation, somebody needs to know about it. Mayor, I'm telling you, I'm going to be gone from here to here. Okay. It's not, this is what I've done today.
The mayor is also just an equal vote.
Yes. But
and
he
so
is also.
So it gets a little, it's
yeah.
fine.
But he or she is also the spokesman for the council
mm-hmm.
and for the city. So no, and it's just so that there is a person that if there is a question, and then the mayor would bring it to council,
okay.
kind of thing, so that you don't have the city administrator having to go to every single member of council to get a vacation approved or something else approved in those terms.
Two questions. Number one,
right.
Are we going to send this to council to approve?
Yes, it would
have to.
Once you make
yeah.
a recommendation
okay.
for a final,
yeah.
it goes to the full body for approval.
Okay. I would recommend that we have very clear definition that we can state to council of what reporting to actually entails.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how we do that, Lynette. I mean, it's not taking the council out. He or she is responsible to the council, but it's a reporting of.
Well, I think that should come from council. I think that that's a discussion that all mm-hmm. nine members need to have about what the expectations are mm-hmm. about what reporting yeah. is. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that needs to be clear in the job description so that mm-hmm. whoever's reading that job description understands what you all mean by right. reporting to. Mm-hmm. So and that discussion can come, you know, when you all review the final job description.
And maybe it's something like, you know, policies and procedures and budgets, et cetera, of course, are council. But day-to-day questions that may come up that are need an answer right then, I'm not sure how we can do it. Because I can hear members of council saying, yeah, but you know, how do you have somebody report to nine people?
Well, I mean, she, you know, through the magic of technology.
I was never asked a vacation question. Were you? I'm going on vacation.
Well, she would send.
She would say, I'm going on vacation, but she right. would not be given permission to go on vacation. I mean, there's no reporting, like every other department head reports to somebody. I think there has to be some line that for the person, for the employee themselves to know, this is the person I go to for this, this, and this, and I don't know if we need, you mm-hmm. know. See what
right.
I'm trying
mm-hmm.
to say?
Absolutely. And I think the vacation is a good hypothetical.
A hypothetical. Okay.
Example. I'm trying to think of maybe a couple of others, but there's administrative things that
right.
There should be one person. I agree that there are some things that there should be one person.
Well, it might be, you know, and to me, this city administrator, she or he runs the city, basically, for the most part, you know, under direction from city council, but it's somebody who is responsible enough to be able to manage their own, it's like a CEO, is what we just said.
Yeah, but
you know,
CEO reports to the board chairman.
To the board, but it might not be,
and
you know.
The board chairman.
But like, fortunately with HR, we have Wynette who could let this person know you have this much vacation time, you don't, blah, blah, blah. You know, I think there needs to be some level of trust.
Well, I don't think that it's a trust level, but I think it's just you have an administrative position, and this isn't a manager position.
I mean, and really
this is administrative.
And our mayor is not full-time. You know, it's not a full-time mayor here, really. It's not like somebody who's here, you know, 9 to 5.
I mean, to me, the issue lies in that the city administrator reports to the council and mayor.
Right.
That much we understand. Mm-hmm. What we're defining is, okay, what does that mean then? What authority do they have with and without us? And there's policy level that we know we set and we give direction. Sometimes there's a lot of latitude. Sometimes there's a lot of specificity as to what you're supposed to do. What we're getting into is the what degree of flexibility we want to create for that person and, you know, their role. Using the specific example of vacation.
And say
that's okay. So I think, honestly, for the sake of just clarity, especially of a new person that would be coming in, it's important to have those boundaries of, If you want to take vacation, because they might not know that there's something, you know, there might be a good reason why they shouldn't be taking vacation. And if they just say, hey, by the way, I'm going on vacation and I've already made the plans, versus I would like to go on vacation. My first thing is, I don't think it makes sense for them to seek approval from nine people. And I think we could probably all agree from that. It's not a question of should they go to nine
right.
versus one. It's a question of should they go to anybody at all.
Right.
Is the question. And if the answer is yes, they should go to somebody, that it probably should be one, and the mayor makes the most sense.
Okay.
So the debate is whether or not someone needs to seek approval. I would say for a new person, of course we trust them, They just don't necessarily know, and it helps just build in the right layers of accountability and boundaries that you just want to establish and say, you do answer and report to the council, and this is the way in which we do that.
Because I think some of the administrative minutiae, if he or she has to go to the council for all of that, what if one council member says, no, I don't want you to?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you have to have a vote of nine? Or do you have to vote? You know, this is where I think it would be good to have one person that can take care of that. All the policies and procedures, et cetera, of course, come under it. So I'll need some help in explaining that one. Because I'm sure that's going to come up in a question.
Yeah. And I think, if I may.
Sure.
I think what we have to remember is that this position is set by ordinance, by one of your codes. So we have to just be cautious that it is under the direction of the council, but we can always include in the job description under the council with, you know, we can put some verbiage in there saying with strong emphasis on communicating with mayor, you know, that type
something
of stuff.
Of that sort.
I don't think we have to do a lot of changes. I think we just have to add a very small caveat in here because we want to stay with what the code says.
Well, yeah. And even if the person, you know, will be communicating directly with the mayor for these type of, it's just a matter of practicality.
Right.
That person will still be evaluated by the full
council,
by the full body.
Right.
So they'll, you know, they'll still report to that. But I don't think we need to get into changing the code or anything like that.
Right.
It's just being practical about.
Does that mean that we should take out, are you suggesting that we take out reports to mayor/council?
No.
Okay.
No.
Keep that there, but maybe explanatory language elsewhere? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think once you interview and hire somebody, I'm sure that you'll have these conversations with them, and those expectations can be explained about, you know, for these type of decisions, you know, you may just want to talk to the mayor, or these are the type of decisions that we all want to hear.
This might not be something that we want to bring up to the full council.
I don't think so, because like she said,
it's going to open a Pandora's box.
Right.
We'll just deal with it with the candidate and the hire. Okay. Everybody agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
And then here's one of the things that are listed, and this would take a lot of change. This comes under essential job functions. Mm-hmm. About midway through, it says,
this is page 2 of the job description and page 17 of the packet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It says, responsible for the city's real property, including the Isle of Palms Marina, and supervision of leases relative to the marina. And I never understood why the city administrator would be doing that rather than the building department.
Well, I mean, I think...
I know it's different.
Right, I know there are a lot of different ways to think about this. I mean, generally it's been the administrator who's kind of keeping an eye on everything. Now we're hiring this new person in the building department.
Right.
So maybe that would be the time we have to see, you know, who we're getting, and if maybe that could be something that's part of...
You mean public works.
Public works.
That's fine.
But in terms of No, that's right. I know, but in terms of looking at everything, we're trying to get someone who can help us,
and
oversee.
And I was looking at it more in terms of permits and leases and buildings and things of that sort, that it would be more of a building function than it would be an administrative function.
I think this is more a big picture, managing the marina lease and making sure that each department handles their, you know, building appropriately. So I understand what you're saying, but I think it's more of a global oversight picture of the city's buildings and real property, because it includes the parks, it includes the
public
restrooms,
safety building.
Safety building.
Why is the marina called out specifically versus Why, like, I'm just curious, like, why would we not say including the marina and including the recreation facilities? Like, why is that
specific? I would just
say
responsible for city's real property, period.
Well, I mean, I do think the marina is a different animal. It's the one with a lease. Like, the rec doesn't really have a lease. The parking lots we do now ourselves. I think mm-hmm. we still were managing the parking
yeah,
lot.
Fair enough.
It used to say city parking lots and leases for that. But that we don't have that anymore. So this is
yeah,
gotcha.
We still what have it, a lease for the parking lot.
No,
no,
the city
we
now
it.
We have the automated parking kiosk.
And we
so
handle
we
it.
But we have Bill Shop.
Is this
we
the
have
only
Bill Shop?
That's but that's
no.
Okay. That's public works.
That's public
is this
works.
The only leased the only real property that we lease out? That would
yes.
Okay.
Right now
that
we
makes
do.
Sense to me then to
yeah.
say
yeah.
If that's the only one.
Yeah.
But I was just, you know, I was always curious as to why the city administrator would be supervising a marina.
Well, she supervises, or he or she supervises everything. She handles the building department.
Can,
I mean, she's over.
Can I suggest a change? Because I think what the intent of this is to say, even the real property that we are not managing. So I think maybe to capture future, if we decided to lease out the parking lot, so that we don't have to change language in this, it should say the city's real property, including all leased, all city-owned and leased mm-hmm. properties.
There you go. And
okay.
just don't, yeah.
And we don't need to call out the marina explicitly because it's,
right. it's a
under
process.
The umbrella
part of
the, leased properties.
And part of the city's real property.
Right. And that's the only thing I found.
Excuse me.
We didn't get any noise about the fiscal requirements difference.
Thank you.
No.
Okay. So, with those changes, is this a job description we would like to present to City Council?
I definitely, yeah. I.
Or do you want
to? I would like to read
more?
It. Well, I can read it between, again, very carefully between now and Ways and Means, so.
Well, it doesn't go to Ways and Means, does it?
No,
no
it, would go to
it just goes to Council.
Okay, so there's
next
plenty
week.
Of time. There's plenty of time. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think.
But any changes that you find and Wynette makes then needs to come back to us, right?
Okay.
So that we
mm-hmm.
see, do we want to wait another month on it?
No, I don't think we
not
should.
Forever.
I think
okay.
we should, yeah.
Because we need to have this for
yeah.
for the firm.
Yeah,
okay.
the firm.
So if you do see any changes, go
okay.
ahead and submit them to Wynette.
I will.
And then Wynette, you make those changes and get them out to all of us so that we just know before the meeting what changes have been made. Is that okay with everybody?
Mm-hmm. So,
do you want to see the clean version or draft
yeah.
changes?
Of the
job description.
The new track changes,
mm-hmm.
the like
so that you
the
can
current clean version with any new change
okay.
track,
not
the
go.
Old.
Okay,
not the old. The old one is gone. Old one is gone.
So I'd
Thanks.
Like to make a motion that we send to City Council the new clean but also edited version that we've given the edits for today to City Council for the job description of city administrator.
Second.
Isla Palms.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, we shall present this to City Council at the end of the month. Okay. Next.
My chief thing.
Okay, now we're going to look at the traits, characters, and qualities of an ideal chief of police. Yeah, I know, all of our cheat sheets.
No, I don't know, I've got to find that one.
Okay, we'll have John start again.
Okay.
Some time to find it.
Alrighty, I used the list that we were given. I think this came from the Public Safety Committee, right, last meeting?
Mm-hmm.
And just pick my top five from there.
You got it,
Alan? No.
Okay. And frankly, there's a lot of transfer from the city administrator. I mean, these are key leaders in our community. So there should be, I mean, we should expect some similarities. But the communication skills, and I don't know, again, I think I said it when Carol said it for the city administrator, I'm not sure how that didn't make it onto my list, because it's just, it is so important in anything, and that's just as a note, if you look at almost any survey that organizations conduct with their internal staff, almost always the biggest issue that they always cite of where there's room for improvement is always communication. A lot of times it's perceived, and people always feel like communication could be better, and that's usually because it pretty much always could be better, but it's so important. That's how things get done. If you could be really fantastic at doing stuff, and if you can't communicate with others well, then you can't delegate and you can't get other things done. Ethical and highest integrity, again, for key leadership roles, that's just so important. Ability to motivate and inspire others, and this goes with communication skills as well. That, I think, is really important in a police chief. And out here, where you're dealing with so many different types of constituents, from our residents to vacationers to visitors from the area, the ability to really inspire their force and those with whom they work. And then the forward thinking and creativity were the other two that I really hit on. And I think that it's just really important that we're thinking of the future, and that our leaders are thinking of the future, and executing to make sure that we're taking care of today, but also really looking forward to tomorrow. And that certainly goes with environmental as well. Carol, I think for me, when I say forward thinking, that environmental component has to be baked into it.
Given where we are, I think.
Absolutely. I would hope everywhere, right. But it's particularly acute for us.
Right. A guy in Ohio doesn't have the same,
But, issues. I think in this world, wherever you are, there are environmental issues.
Right, absolutely.
For instance, it may be bald eagles.
Right. But some people care about them and some people don't. Really?
Yeah.
Some people are like, you know what, I'm going to be dead, it's not my problem.
Yes.
And other people really, want to do better for the planet.
Okay, Carol.
I don't really have. I think all of these are really important. I think we'd said that before, but I guess approachable is really important. I think in this role, obviously everything you said too. So I'm not going to repeat any of the ones you said. Ethical and integrity and all of that is just, it almost goes without saying, but.
Mm-hmm. I know, you like.
Yeah, like I don't want to have to use, and then of course, conflict resolution is, but you do hope that comes with the territory. I don't really know, how you get to be a police chief if you're not. But, so I don't know if we need to say it or not. And then, it's got flexibility, but I think that, I don't know if everybody, to me, that's, every single issue isn't black or white to try and find a, I don't know if, or if they're meaning flexibility, like could do yoga. I don't know. So, but for me, it was sort of, the world is not always black and let's, be, because I think for our residents, that's something they really want is to be able to have a flexible.
Yeah.
And then, one of the things for me is I'm hoping for somebody who's really positive, just this, a positive force of nature for our department.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to, does that sound too like hippy dippy zen? But, I just want it to be someone who just brings everybody up and together, and again, a team kind of spirit because I think that is a, it's a good way to be. When you're working with people so much, long hours, crazy shifts, crazy stuff happening, mm-hmm. you know, you really need that team. My brother, you know, helping me kind of thing when you, you know, mm-hmm. backing me up, blah, blah, blah.
So. I think, I mean, that I said ability to motivate and inspire others.
Right.
And they're
right. That's
not
same,
the exact
right.
same, but
same, no,
we're,
same
we're,
idea.
We're
yeah.
going
yeah.
at the same thing.
Yeah. Right.
I'm hoping
thing.
Our firm is going to say, okay, we hear you
right.
from all of this. This is what we take from it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and very much the same. My number one was ethical and highest level of integrity. I don't think you can be a police chief without that.
Right.
And then I went on to a couple of the police sites, and under that I put live your values and have a moral compass.
Mm.
That was one line that I saw, and I thought that was really impactful.
Mm-hmm.
My second one was ability to create a culture of team. That's
same.
I think that's
yeah.
really important.
Right.
And under that, these statements I thought were impactful were, realize that the position does not define leadership. Just because you're called the chief of police doesn't mean that you're automatically leadership. You have to prove that. You have to, you know, it doesn't come just with the title. To mentor and coach
mm-hmm.
for this team,
mm-hmm.
but to hold people accountable. In order to build a strong team, everybody has to be accountable. I thought that was
On the force. Okay.
Okay, number three, I had ability to embrace and guide change. And there was a statement that says, delegate to the expert in the room. In other words, there may be somebody that knows more about it than you do, so don't do it yourself. Delegate it to the one that really has that kind of expertise. And for yourself to also accept the ability to learn and grow, that you don't have all the answers. And also I had forward thinking in terms of guiding change. Excellent communication skills. I think we say that
yes.
under here. I said say thank you often and admit mistakes. I think that for all of us is something in communication that, you know, if somebody's done something well, thank them for
mm-hmm.
it. If you've made a mistake, just admit it and say, you know, I was wrong. This is what happened. And then the one I had with the administrator also is to establish and foster effective city and county-wide working relationships. I think for our chief of police, every chief of police in the city, the whole county needs to know who he or she is, and the state also, so that we can be proud of who they are, and give them the ability to have peers that can
mm-hmm.
help them
right.
along the way. So
right.
you're not
network.
Just on this island. You know, we're part of a county, we're part of a state,
right.
we're part of a region, that you need to reach out to.
Networking.
And networking. So those were mine.
Good.
So we will give all of this to Wynette.
After Marie done it.
Marie.
Do you want my notes?
Yes.
Yeah, and I here you
oh,
can
absolutely.
Have
I'll take everything.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, good luck, but.
Yeah. We got it pretty good.
Yeah, probably. Just so that we can kind of see all of them together, I think we will have maybe not 10, because I think some of us came in on the same thing. So that mm-hmm. means that's really important to all of us on this committee, at least.
Marie, I'm going to email you. But,
now, we don't need to bring
so.
Any of this to council. This is just for the firm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't think we need to have council approval on these sorts of things. Okay, before we move on to the... discussion of the chief of police. Let's wait for
mm-hmm.
Carol to come back. But I will kind of mention that we had some social media jabber going on about our job description. So I wanted to make sure that we're all clear on what's in the job description and what may or may not have been understood in that job description. But we'll wait just a minute.
While we're waiting for
yeah.
Carol, what I think you would notice if you looked at some of the firm's brochures that they created for the descriptions throughout the country, I think you notice when they talk about these key components of the position of the person that they're looking for, they kind of encapsulate that under different categories, and they put all of that. If you looked at those, mm-hmm. you see that everything that you said today, mm-hmm. they'll take these pieces that we give them and they'll do a nice description
right.
that really covers mm-hmm. right. exactly all of the conversation and all of the comments. Yeah. So
now we don't have the police chief job description in this packet, right?
Yes, it's the very last document.
And again, clean copy for you, right?
Right.
You too. Yeah, clean copy and then the edited version.
I appreciate that, by the way.
We just wanted to start talking about the chief
okay.
of police.
You too. Yeah, we do the same with ordinances so that you can read about them.
See where the changes are, but then actually read it.
Read the whole clean version. Yeah.
We're now looking at the Alapalms chief of police. It's the last job description in the packet.
Okay. So many spots.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, the same thing. It was just more formatted. A few things were
right.
tweaked to be, and
right.
the content of it was not anything major.
And also, Councilmember Ferenc, related to your comment about some questions associated with the job description, Wynette reached out to our labor attorney and reviewed the job description, and that is something that I would feel comfortable once they've been approved to be reviewed by the labor attorney and ensure that they comply with any requirements. And then at the last page, you see a section that was added from mm-hmm. the last version that you saw. And it says, applicants and current employees who are or become disabled as defined under the Americans with Disabilities Act and its related regulations must be able to perform the essential functions as listed, either unaided or with the assistance of a reasonable accommodation. The city welcomes discussion regarding reasonable accommodations that may be needed. Reasonable accommodations are determined on a case-by-case basis.
Right. Now, do you want this to go to council first and then go to the labor lawyer, or labor lawyer first, then
we can
council?
Have her review the finals.
Yeah, I feel like we should definitely have her review it first.
Yes.
I do too. Yeah.
So, you all have approved the city administrator's
yes.
position. If you approve this one, we'll send it
yes.
to her, have her review,
right.
and have a final
and then
review first.
And we can state to the council that this has been reviewed
correct.
By the labor
lawyer. Where that's concerned, we did have a physical requirement in the existing one,
we
right?
We always
correct.
Right.
It's
okay. I just want to.
Yes.
Okay. This
and
is not
this
like
is nothing
a new,
new
addition.
And there's even more stringent when you look at what they have to go through in terms of their training.
Okay.
Et cetera,
I just want it on the record
yeah.
that this is not something new that's just been
right.
put in
no.
all of a sudden. Okay.
Yeah, but because we were made aware of it, we
right.
had to look into it.
Right.
It has been more defined in here. The old job description, the current job description has just one line, but the best practices for any and all of our job descriptions, which are being changed as we move forward, they are including those physical requirements a little more outlined so that we can follow ADA requirements.
Right.
So. That's why it was a little more expanded upon compared to what was in the current job description. Okay.
We're becoming more compliant.
Yes.
Absolutely, we are.
Right. Well, covering our own interests.
Right. Do I hear a motion to accept the Alapalms Chief of Police job description?
So moved.
Oh, and it's going to go to the labor attorney.
Correct. Before it goes
right,
to full council
goes.
At the end
right.
of the month, we'll have her review
okay.
both job
descriptions. And you can report on that at city council.
Yes.
Okay.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We have our two job descriptions, and we've already have the job description for the public works.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all set. Right?
And that's been approved.
Yep. Once these are approved, we'll get the search firm. any other new business? Miscellaneous business. Our next meeting is set for August 2nd. Traditionally, we don't meet in August, but I'm not sure how quickly the firm is going to get back to us. So,
right. Why don't we set the meeting, if we don't,
we'll cancel it if we don't have them. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or they might want to meet with us the following week or something, and we can change it.
So our next meeting date is Thursday, August 2nd at 5 p.m. There's no executive session meeting. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.